As indicated on this screen, our theme for the conference is Faithfulness to God in a Day of Ruin. And in the readings, we have been pursuing studies in the second book of Timothy, because that book provides us with help in handling the conditions in a day of ruin. Today, we go to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. And in chapter 3, we will start at verse 10, which says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for a correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Chapter 4. "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen." We had considered the early verses of chapter 3, looking at some of the conditions described there between verses 3 to 9. And hence we will continue now from verse 10, because in verse 10, Paul would speak especially to Timothy and to help him as to how to deal with some of those issues. What is it? What are the resources he would have in this day of ruin and the attitudes he might adopt? So we go from verse 10 today, and hopefully all through chapter 4 as much as we can, the time we have.
I think we might find in the opening verse somewhat of the apostles' antidote to the conditions that prevailed before. He says, in the midst of it all, but thou. But is a wonderful contrast. It's a conjunction that gives us something that has gone before and sets for us what is to follow. And what is following is that you have known, you've been thoroughly acquainted with my teaching or my doctrine. And I think how important it is, first of all, to begin there. He doesn't give anything else but the teaching. If we're going to be established, if we're going to be able to be fortified against the influences of the evil around, we must be established in the principles of the truth of God's word, the doctrine. It's essential. Too often we're looking for practical ministry, and I have no problems with us receiving practical ministry, but you can't get practical if you haven't got the basis, the doctrine, the truth. One might even ask the question, does Paul sound very egotistic here? Everything seems to point back to him. You've known my doctrine, my conduct, and so forth. I think the challenge that comes from that is this. Paul is not setting himself forward. What he is saying is what I have gained in Christ. You can see it manifested in my life. And therefore, Timothy, take an example from that.
The doctrine is first and foremost, and all other things must tie to that. And truly, the doctrine produces the proper manner of life, as we see here. And out of the proper manner of life, there also flows the purpose, the faith, the long-suffering, the charity, the patience, the persecution, the affliction. All of this is because of the doctrine, because of what he holds. So there was a consistency of life along with that which he teach. Not one who say, do as I say, but don't do as I do. He was consistent in his living that the doctrine was not blame.
I think one thing that we'll find in Paul's ministry is that he's very confident of what he has learned through the Holy Spirit, even to the point that King Agrippa said, oh, Paul, you are most convicted me, right? And we find this, that I think we could probably read into it when Paul says, you follow my teachings, and where Dave was speaking about him referring to himself, I think maybe that could be seen as his confidence in what he believes, in what he knows the scripture to teach. And I think that is necessary for us as well, even as we would teach not just fellow believers, but as we would speak to unbelievers as well, that they see our confidence in the scriptures, in the Lord, and that we'll truly know that this is not just something idle.
It is important to understand that when the Apostle Paul takes up the my doctrine in his epistles, he's always being addressed the apostle. The apostle that is representing with all the authority the Lord Jesus himself. So he wasn't talking about his own understanding of the doctrine. It was nevertheless the doctrine of Christ himself. But he could speak of it as my because of who he is in his position that he has obtained by the will of